Yo, who was at downtown last night for the parade? Wasn't that a fabulous parade? Thank you for everybody who helped for our church float. We could not do it without you. We're going to worship this morning. Invite the presence of the Lord here. God, we thank you for today. We lift you up. We glorify you. We thank you that we are who you say we are. Be glorified today in Jesus' name, amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me into his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
We thank you for your love, God.
Who the sun sets free, oh, is free.
Say I am chosen, not forsaken.
there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Come on, give him praise. There's a place for you. There's a place at the table for you. Thank you, Lord. You are for us. You see us. You care about the smallest concerns. We put all our faith in you, all our trust in you, to believe that what you have done before and the ways that you have gone before us, you will do it again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. The night would last, your word will come to pass, my heart will sing your praise again.
Touch every heart, God.
Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within will sing your praise again.
Your promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. Faithfulness, faithfulness.
still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. You never fail me, yeah.
Oh, we just stay in an attitude of worship. We will never forget.
Before he is Lord.
Heavenly Father, as we continue to anticipate and wait and celebrate the season in which the God over us became the God with us. Lord, no creature, no one is unmoved, no one is untouched by this. God, you are the creator that became a creature for all eternity to show us how much you love us. God, may the truth of that settle in our souls to create the hope and peace like no other truth will. We love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You may clap while you're being seated if you want to for the Lord, because he deserves that. All right. God bless you guys. Welcome to worship today. We are thankful to have you here amongst us, with us, your presence, your voice, your smile. It's good to see y'all. It's good to get together like this every Sunday. If you are new here or a guest with us today, we are particularly thankful for your new smile. We would love to get to know you better. We can do that by having you fill out one of the new here cards that you'll find on the back of the row in front of you, or stopping by our guest table on your way out today. We would just love a chance to connect with you and say hello and know you better. Would let us do that. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we continue our spirit of worship. We do that through giving so that the kingdom of the Lord continues to be built. His work continues, and we are privileged to be a part of that. That is part of how we worship. If you are a guest with us today, please do not feel obligated, but you are certainly welcome to take part in that. Pray with me for the offering as you will. Father God, again, we thank you today for only what you can do, God, the blessings that only you can bring, the way that only you can multiply these gifts for your good and your glory, and we ask you to do that today. Amen. Amen, amen. How many people are comfortable in their seat today? Anybody? Anybody comfortable? Man, most of you guys are not comfortable. Okay, I will tell them. But if you are comfortable today, in fact, if your tushy is in a chair at all, it's because of an elite crew that comes in early on Sunday mornings to make sure that your tushy has a chair to sit in. And that's our chair crew. We want to continue just to recognize those guys. They are a dedicated group of fellas. They're pretty much the same. Amazing. You wouldn't know it to look at them. None of them are getting any younger. But they are showing up faithfully every Sunday morning and doing that. If you've got some time early on a Sunday morning and you would love to come be a part of that magic that happens, 8:30 is when they do that, and they would love your help. Thank you to all of you who do stay and help us tear down afterwards for all the things we have going on this week. I believe that is all the announcements that I have and all the time I need to take up before we get to the announcement video with the Broadways today. Thank you, guys. God bless you for being here today.
Ready?
Yes.
What's up, CF Paris? We are so excited that you are here with us today. We have just a few announcements for you. First off, Worship Wednesday. It is coming up this Wednesday. It starts at 6:30, and we would love for you to join us for this epic night of worship. Second, Start Here class. We do this every second Sunday, and it's coming up this following Sunday. This is a place where if you're new here or if you've been here for a while but you have a few questions, this is the class for you. Next Sunday is going to be before service, so show up early, and then you meet out in the lobby by the coffee shop, and Pastor G will take you to class.
All right, guys, I got a couple of Christmas announcements. First of all, if you got a Gifts of Love card or an Adopt a Foster Child card, please, please bring those gifts back. They're due this week. We would love them to be wrapped, but with the card attached, so we know how to get them and where to get them to the right place. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions or you need any assistance with that, please reach out to Melissa or any of us on staff, and we can help you out. And we're just so thankful for you guys partnering partnering with us to bless others in our community this season. And then our second announcement is Christmas Eve service. We are super excited this year that we're going to be having two services on Christmas Eve, a 5:30 and an 8. So if you have a Christmas Eve dinner tradition, you can either come to the 5:30 and then go have dinner, or you can have dinner before and then come to the 8. So we're super, super excited about it. There is no childcare, but it's going to be a very family-friendly service. There's going to be a part in the service actually just for kids. We're going to have some coloring packets. So make plans, figure out which service is going to fit for you. And then remember, we will not meet on Sunday morning, the 25th.
Nope.
So stay home, love on your family, love on your people, and then we will meet again together on the 1st. What an incredible way to start the new year.
Yep.
Coming together as a family. So we are just super, super excited about this holiday season, these next few weeks. So we love you guys.
Yep.
And we will, I think Pastor Corey's coming up.
Is it Pastor Corey? Pastor Corey!
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys. We walking?
Sure.
Immediately, like, tuned out. They have written Christmas Eve off. You know. No, there's no child care on Christmas Eve candlelight service because we're coming together as family with our volunteers who never get to sit in the service, the ones whom you so love to take for granted on a Sunday morning, the ones who curse me when I go along at all on a Sunday morning. We have a great relationship, but no, look, guys, this is going to be a wonderful service, a tremendous time for all of us as family to come together and to enjoy the holidays, the true meaning of Christmas, the reason for the season. Now, I want to preface today's message by saying you need to be here next week. I can't encourage everybody enough. Next week is kind of... While not the culmination of this series, it's the reason I initially started looking into this whole series to begin with. I'm going to be talking basically about burnout. It was 2 years ago when I noticed a crazy trend that could kind of be labeled as burnout. There were more marriages that were on the rocks. There was more jobs, just people that were just frustrated with life and their jobs, with everything, than I've ever seen. I initially kind of equated it simply with a first responder's issue, but then as I started to recognize, it was really just this across-the-board, all-of-us issue. And it was through that I just kind of started really looking into mental health issues. These things that we deal with, and yet, honestly, the church is kind of pushed aside. And I say that very hesitantly because we've addressed it with the correct answer, just not necessarily in the correct manner. And in approaching even the correct answer, we've also had a tendency to shut out any other thing that God wants to may use that we consider not the Word of God. Doctors, health professionals, counselors. We write them off and we say, no, it's the scripture and it's only the scripture. And it is. It's the scripture and it's only the scripture. But even the scripture shows we're accountable to other people. Sometimes we don't see the mental health issues that we're dealing with because we're dealing with it. How's that for the novel quote of the day? All that to say, next week, bring somebody. Make sure you're here. This is something that I think we all need to hear. One of the things that our main hope, our main goal here at CF Paris is inspiring people to believe and live like the gospel changes everything. It's this idea of you and I coming together, belonging, following Christ, coming to this point where we believe, and in believing now we're following hard, and then we become more like him every day. And yet a lot of times our mentality, we just get it all messed up. We get all messed up. It's... We're rapidly approaching Christmas. And while the angels themselves declared, "Behold, peace on earth," that's not a lot of what we see today. Peace on earth, it's more anything but. And yet Jesus' arrival was peace on earth. I want to jump to a passage today in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Solomon writes this, he says, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired." Merry Christmas. But look, I mean, doesn't that sound just like what we know of as the Christmas spirit? "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired." Continuing on, he says, "I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my work, and this was the reward for my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and all that I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun." Happy holidays. I want you to notice this little phrase because this is why we're in this series. I think there's a lot of people that are coming to the end of this year with hopes, with expectations, with ideas. And on the outside, you're smiling, everything's fine. But on the inside, you might say something continuing on like Solomon does in verse 17, where he says, "So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me." Now, that word grievous, when you look back and translate what he was, the word translates better for us today as oppressive, even depressive. So Solomon's saying the work done under the sun was depressing to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Joyful, joyful, Lord. Yeah. I still remember the anticipation building up to my 18th birthday. Mind you, my 16th birthday, my family took my sister to the U.S. Junior Olympics and left me at home. So there was a lot of expectation coming up for 18. Like, come on, we got it. Like, there's got to be a party. There's got to be something. Adding to the anticipation, my parents came up to me two weeks before my birthday and said, "Now listen, Corey, you can't go anywhere near the garage. You got to, we're locking the door, but please just stay away from the garage." What? Mind you, if I remember correctly, I think I was driving a 74 Super Beetle at the time. So when they said working on something in the garage, look, working on anything was great. That was better. It was going to be awesome. I couldn't wait. I was, let's go! Now, as another little preface, I loved playing volleyball at the time. I wasn't going pro. I wasn't doing it in a league. I loved playing volleyball. I was good at it. I played a lot of volleyball. We have my birthday. Not just my birthday. This is the day that I've been told to stay away from the garage birthday. All right? We go through all the meaningless presents. I don't remember a single one of them. We get to the last one, which I'm sure I thought of, like, it had to be hiding keys, right? Something. Like, this is the reveal. Open it up. Nothing. I don't remember it either. Okay. Oh, Corey, is that everything? dad jokes. It's time to go out to the garage. I am hyped. Hyped. Like, so excited. We go out there. We open up the garage to reveal the cemented tires that my dad had put a pole in for the volleyball net. that they were building in the garage. I don't know that I ever played volleyball again. Oh, look. Have you ever set yourself up for disappointment? Your expectations were high, but then when you got to it, it wasn't anything like you thought it was going to be. It was supposed to be. So the same, I think, in life, we build up these expectations of what life is supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, when life happens and life doesn't turn out the way we thought life was supposed to have turned out, it becomes depressing. Oppressive, grievous. We go through life giving ourselves everything our eyes desire, and yet still it doesn't satisfy. Look, you've tried a lot of things. You've tried a lot of things this year. There's possessions, entertainment. Some of you vacation more than I even, like, I dream of a vacation, and y'all go on like 10 a year. But vacations, we've tried those, entertainment, vacations, Christmas ends up just kind of like all the joy, it's seamless, just seemingly just like sucked out of the year, and Christmas ends up just kind of becoming this last final ditch effort. I'm gonna buy what they want, we're gonna get what I want, and then it's gonna be joyous and peaceful. But we get to the end of it, having given ourselves everything we've wanted, and we find ourselves saying, this can't be all there is to life. This can't be it. Solomon was a guy who had everything a person could possibly want. Everything that anybody could possibly want. He was known as the richest guy ever, as well as the wisest guy ever. And he says, I gave myself everything I wanted. I just went and bought it. I had it, I did it, I tried it, and yet still, when I surveyed it all, it still was meaningless. And then he says this, he says, because everything I was doing was under the sun. Everything I was doing was under the sun. Now hear this, because I think a lot of us go through life trying to become satisfied. Trying to become happy, trying to have it all, trying to get it and to maintain it while continually missing out on peace. Maybe that's because peace isn't found in the stuff here under the sun. He says, it became oppressive to me chasing after the wind, just having to follow this continual cycle. How do you know that you've fallen into this same mind trap, this same mental trap where like Solomon, your life has become nothing more than this cycle of chasing after the wind? How do you know you've fallen into that? I want to give you three quick things. That's recorded for eternity. Hallelujah. All right, three quick things. They're phrases that you may or may not have said. We'll see. Three things that a lot of us just have a tendency to say. The first one is the phrase, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated. I think frustration is there's a lot of people today that are frustrated. And frustration a lot of times plays out as anger in our lives. We'll find ourselves being angry all the time and not really knowing why we're frustrated. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he starts off, he says this, life is meaningless, it's all useless. He says, you spend your life working, but what do you have to show for it? And he ends by saying, the world just stays the same. You try and you try and you try, and yet nothing changes. It's frustrating. And a lot of us are like, frustration, all right. The second indicator, one that I hear from people a lot. A survey was recently done, and the number one answer to the question of how are you feeling, or how are you doing, or how's it going, the number one answer was, I'm tired. Hey, how's it going? I'm just tired. Busy. I'm tired. We're overworked and we're tired. Solomon said this, continuing on in verses 5 through 8. He basically just says, look, the sun still rises and it still goes down. The wind continues to blow round and round and round back again. Every river flows into the sea. Then the water returns to where the rivers began and starts to flow all over again. What am I doing here? Everything leads to weariness. Everything leads to weariness. A weariness too great to handle. Ooh. In other words, in today's language, what he might say is, you wake up, you go to work on Monday. You get home, you're tired, you're exhausted. You deal with the kids, you put them to bed, you clean the house, you go to sleep. You wake up on Tuesday, you do it again. You wake up Wednesday, you do it again. You wake up Thursday, you do it again. You wake up Friday, you do it again. And then you wake up Saturday, you mow the yard, you go to church on Sunday, and then you start Monday again. Tuesday again, Wednesday again, Thursday again, Friday again, Saturday mow the grass, Sunday go to church, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Solomon was noticing simply that it's just this cycle, this never-ending, repetitious cycle. And it's tiring. It's weariness. It's just this tiring. And look, you're going to see where I'm tired leads. Number three, another phrase that you may or may not, maybe, have said. The third feeling is a big one. A lot of people, especially towards the end of the year, find themselves feeling unfulfilled. In your job, in your marriage, just in your life in general, what you thought was going to be fulfilling all of a sudden just isn't. It's not. Looking at verse 8, Solomon continues, he says, no matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. History merely repeats itself. And I think a lot of us find ourselves at this juncture in life. Well, I'm going to give you hope today. Woo! All of that depressing news, and we're just going to wrap it all up, and that's you, but here's a pretty bow, and God's going to fix it all. Look, I'm serious. Okay. If you feel trapped, if you feel stuck in this cycle that Solomon put himself in, and you thought your job, your possessions, the trips, the vacations, any of the other things that are out there would satisfy, and they didn't, and you're looking for a way out, I really do hope to give you a truth that will change your life today. I'm going to be looking in 2 Corinthians 4. And 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the opposite of Solomon. Whereas Solomon could have anything he ever wanted, anything he ever needed, Paul had a very dramatically different Christian life. In fact, as you read through Scripture, everywhere that Paul went, every town, and look, you look at a map at where Paul went, and it's just like the map, and there's Paul. He went everywhere. Everywhere he went, he was run out of every city. Run out of every city. He was beaten, left for dead numerous times. He was thrown into prison numerous times. Okay. He was whipped. And let me clarify something when I say that Paul was whipped. Jesus, right before he went to the cross, was whipped how many times? Anybody? 39 lashes across the back. Wow. And Scripture says that it left him barely recognizable as a man. Paul got that 5 times. Paul. Romans loved the science behind ripping a body apart. They had it figured out down to an exact science how they could shred muscle from bone and leave somebody so close to death that it was a Roman law that if you gave somebody 40 lashes and they died, your life would be taken. But if you gave somebody 39 lashes and they died, well, then they just couldn't handle the pressure. Paul got that 5 times. Like, once you enter the Christian walk, there's some sort of level of mentality that says, thank you, God. Things are going to be better. Paul was shipwrecked. Scripture says a day and a night, like just bobbing at sea. Like, how's this for luck? This is... Right? And that's kind of what most of us would be just sitting there like, isn't this just typical? Guaranteed, a shark bites me next. Not in the Mediterranean, maybe, but I don't know. And then, a day and a night, bobbing for his life on the ocean, and then finally makes it to land and is bitten by a poisonous snake. That was Paul's luck. Bitten by a poisonous snake. Look, it never worked out for Paul. From a human perspective, it never worked out for Paul. It was bad. And yet, Paul says this in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16, and this is my prayer for you today. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Look. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? Regardless of what this year has done to you, regardless of what the stock market currently says, regardless of what the economy currently says, regardless of who is or who isn't president, regardless of what your job currently is or isn't concerning how you thought it would be, what if you could say, therefore, we do not lose heart regarding anything? If you could look at life and say, I never lose heart. Man, that's powerful. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I wonder what the secret is behind a guy like Paul who was left for dead more times than I ever want to be. Once is enough for me. Like, just if I'm, I don't think I could take it. And yet here's a man that's saying, I never lose heart. There's got to be a truth behind it somewhere. Like, what is Paul doing? Listen here. He says this, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Sorry, what? What kind of troubles you think you got? Look, I don't know what kind of troubles anybody here has today. I know my troubles are bad. They're bad. Bad. I don't like my troubles. I'm imagining you think your troubles are probably pretty bad too. And yet here's a man who is currently looking at his situation, which I can very simply look at and say, yeah, that's a little bit, that's probably maybe like one step past mine. I mean, you know, somewhere on that scale. And he's saying, for our light and momentary troubles. Why does he think that? Well, he tells you. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Oh man, look, Paul's teaching a great spiritual truth here. He's saying the secret to solving your problems isn't to solve your problems. The secret to solving your problems is to have something in your life bigger than your problems. Come on. Look, Paul's telling us, I have just as much trouble as any of you. The difference is I have something in my life that outweighs all of it, bigger than all my problems. Instead of trying to fix everything, trying to solve all your problems, you need something in your life that is bigger than your problems. I would dare even say something that serves as a distraction from your problems. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Paul says the secret to eternal life is this. The secret to keeping your mind fixed on the eternal, in verses 16 through 18, he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now listen here. I wonder if maybe, instead of living like we might have this last year, I mean, probably not you, for sure me, but I know none of you were included in any of those categories from before. But instead of living like we might have this last year with our eyes completely focused on everything just under the sun, what would it be like if we lived where everything in our focus was eternal? What if you and I lived where everything in our focus was eternal? What would be different? I can tell you. It would outweigh every problem that you face. Every problem that you face, every situation that you can tell was meant to destroy you, cripple you, completely crush you, wouldn't faze you. That's powerful. You'd find yourself, regardless of what comes, you'd find yourself able to say, I never lose heart. I want to close out with four quick things. And you're like, four? God, he like takes 15 minutes on one. I am so confident that you guys are going to be so eager to hear these four. I'm just going to blow right through them. They're going to be quick. Semi-quick. All right, look, I'm giving you the keys. Like, here's the keys. This is it. I'm like, unlock the doors. Katie, bar the door. I don't know who Katie is or why she ever barred it, but like we are knocking down the gates, because here it is. Four things to completely shift our mind from a perspective of the rat race to a perspective of his peace. You ready? Number one. Prayer is one of the greatest ways for us to be more eternally minded than temporary minded. And already you're thinking, well, that's a little simple. I hope he gets to number two pretty quick. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, Paul says this, Since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Here's a thought. Instead of telling God all about your earthly stuff, like he doesn't know it. We do that. We kind of have a tendency. Even myself, as I'm preaching this, I prayed this morning stuff, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I'd say it, and then I'd be like, you know that. But instead of praying to God all about our earth stuff, I think the real secret to prayer is more of a process where heaven, his peace, becomes our reality. You see, prayer isn't just about informing God about what's going on in your life. It's a process where mentally you're able to dump the stuff of earth and take on a new heart, a new mind, a new attitude. If you read through the Psalms, the beauty of the Psalms, you look at basically every psalm that David wrote. He starts off just about every psalm like just, God, I want you to annihilate my enemies. Destroy them all. Just kill them. Take them. Gah! But then by the end of that very same psalm, David's saying, I know you're in control. I know you got it, God, and I thank you. Somewhere from the beginning of that psalm to the end of that psalm, David's priorities changed. You see, instead of focusing on all the stuff here on earth, he started focusing on the stuff above. He started focusing on heaven. And it was in that his attitude changed. Prayer was a process where earth was no longer his big picture. The second thing. The second thing would be serving. Did you know that serving is one of the greatest ways that you can be eternally minded? And already you're thinking, wait a second, he said there were four awesome things. He's done pray and he's done serve, and I'm wondering if he's going anywhere good because I need to solve my problems. Serve. When you're doing something other with your life than the monotonous, paying the bills, cleaning up after the kids, washing the dishes, doing the whatever. It's stepping out of the cycle. It's recognizing that you have a significant contribution. It's stepping out of receiving mode, and all of a sudden, that's when the eternal becomes your focus. John 6:27, this is Jesus. Jesus himself says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. In other words, don't just do the things, don't just pay the bills, don't just put the groceries on the table. Instead, in your life, work for food that endures to eternal life. People who serve, they're not typically thinking about or dwelling on their own issues. It's not that they're not there. It's just that they have something in their life that outweighs it. Pray. Serve. Like it's going to get really good. Giving. Dadgummit, he went there. Giving is truly one of the greatest ways that you can keep your eyes set on the eternal instead of the temporary. Now, okay, most of us, if you were to think about just your stuff, the stuff that you have, what is yours, your stuff, most of us use our stuff for ourselves. It's our stuff. Why wouldn't I use it for myself, Corey? It's my stuff. But God wants us to use our stuff to make a difference eternally. Psalm 112:9 says this, they share freely and they give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Now let me clarify something. I am saying this knowing what you're thinking, and I'm going to go ahead and just clarify that I don't even consider I don't necessarily consider the tithe giving. The Bible says the tithe is already God's, okay? So if that's already his, and I'm not going through the books looking at who gave what to whom and how much and like looking up your salary. I don't ever bother. I don't look at it. But giving is, it's stepping past to the tithe. Giving is what you do with not just your money, but with you, with everything that is yours. What can I do to leverage, God, after I've given you what is already yours, what can I now do to leverage what's mine, that you've given me too, but what can I do to leverage my car? What can I do to leverage my pool, my house, my coffee, my groceries, my time, my family? What can I do to leverage what it is that you've given me to better follow after what's eternal? It's doing something significant for somebody else. We have to live generous, generous lives. I'm going to call the band up because this is it. We're wrapping it up, shutting it down. Last one. Here it is. Like, if we wanted to shift our minds from being completely earthly here focused to one that was eternally minded, yes, starting with pray, you've got to pray. You've got to serve, you've got to give, and then here's the key final step. Share. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you and I really believe, if we really believe that heaven and hell exist, even in whatever form or shape that your mind dreams up heaven and hell, if we really believe that, we have to step it up to do whatever we can to lead our friends to Christ. We have to share the good news. There are people all around us who just need hope. Like you, they've said at least one, if not all three, of those previous statements. Tired, frustrated, worn out, exhausted, unfulfilled. The only issue for some of them is they don't know his peace. They've heard some distorted, augmented version passed down from somebody else who was hurt or done wrong, and maybe even by the church. But guys, there's something that you have found that they need. Invite someone to a service. Let them be a part of what God is doing here, but more so what God is doing here. Here. That's what it's about. Letting people be involved. Giving them a place to belong, and in belonging, letting them see your belief, and then allowing God to bring the revelation knowledge of his Son into their lives. And then together, hand in hand, walking, becoming more and more like him. Lifting each other up along the way, carrying each other's burdens, yes. Sharing Christ. So simple. Oh my gosh, it's so simple. And yet every year I miss it. Every year I'm waiting for the big reveal. I'm waiting for the garage door to open. And God's in my everyday. Look, We're dealing with burnout across the board. We're going to talk about it next week, and the beauty of it, it ultimately is we're looking for the big reveal, and sometimes God's just in the simple. I want everyone to, if you will, go ahead and stand up with me. I'm gonna close a little different. I'm gonna say a prayer. I'm gonna pray for everybody, and we're gonna close. But at the end, I'm gonna have the band continue to sing this song. Because at the very beginning, it talks about coming to the altar. And look, there's no pressure, there's no anything. But after I've prayed, if you just feel like, man, this has been a year where I've been chasing after the wind, tired, weary, unfulfilled, whatever, and you just want some time to come before God, we're going to open up the altar. There's nothing fancy, schmancy, nothing about this. What it is just a place for you to come and kneel before God and say, God, man, I give you my mind today. That's what it's about. It's about you and I giving our minds to Christ, shifting our focus from the everyday that slams us, bombards us right in our face. And it's shifting. It's turning our eyes upon Jesus, looking full in his wonderful face. And it's in those moments that the things of earth grow strangely dim. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, for your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord God, it's the rock that I can stand on even when my world is crumbling. It's the hope that I can lean on, Lord God, even when it feels like everything's sinking. And Jesus, right now, I pray for those across this room that are tired, that are weary, that are frustrated, that are worn out, they're unfulfilled with life, with where it's led. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, that they would just take a moment to lift their head up, to shift their focus, Father, from the mundane, from the cycle, from the repetitious, to something that's eternal, to something that's glorious, to something that's joyous, to something, Lord God, where we find peace here on earth. The birth of a Savior, the risen King, alive and well for us. Father, I thank you for those today that want to take the time just to acknowledge, Lord, I need you. I need your mind, I need your focus, I need your strength, I need your guidance, I just need you, God. And regardless of my circumstances, today, Father, I'm choosing that therefore I will not lose heart. Father, I pray that we would be a people, a church, Lord God, a generation that would not lose heart. And that through that, Father, that the people that we live among, that this community would see the awesome, awesome work that you are doing right here in and through your people, God. May your name be glorified. May your name be praised. It's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Again, guys, as they're closing, I'm just going to let them continue to sing. Y'all are welcome to leave. But if you just need to come and give it to God this morning, we're going to hang out for a little bit. God bless you guys.
Oh, what a savior.